Welcome to the Background Briefing podcast. This week, the Lyme disease controversy, Di Martin's investigation from May 2013. A growing number of Australians believe they're suffering from this debilitating illness after being bitten by bush ticks. And some GPs are diagnosing Lyme, even though there's no evidence that Australian ticks carry the bacteria.
A growing number of Australian GPs are risking their professional reputations by diagnosing patients with Lyme disease. Health authorities say there's no evidence that Australian ticks carry the Lyme bacteria. Authorities are worried that doctors are being misled by unproven claims about this controversial disease. But GPs say they're seeing an increasing number of patients with Lyme symptoms. At a recent conference in Sydney, rural GP Dr. Trevor Cheney describes one patient, a 52-year-old bush regenerator.
So he goes out in the bush, he cuts trees, poisons weeds and plants new little trees. So he used to get lots of tick bites. Then when he'd get a tick bite, he'd be in bed for a week. So he was getting progressively sicker and he noticed there was a relationship with his tick bite. At the end of the day, his wife remembered a erythema migrans rash.
The erythema migrans rash looks like a bullseye at the site of the tick bite. Dr. Cheney then lists a bewildering and debilitating array of symptoms.
So he presented after a year of overwhelming fatigue, night sweats around 3 a.m, abdominal pain, intermittent diarrhoea, decreased libido, nocturia, tinnitus, vertigo, nausea, postural dizziness, leaning to the left, sensations of buzzing in the head, red spots on his fingers, increasing cramping attacks, insomnia, tingling feet. There's no anatomical pattern in that. What do you do with that? And so he got thoroughly investigated because, you know, we don't want to go putting our heads out for something that doesn't exist. We've got to make sure that we're not missing something.
There's no conclusive test for the Lyme bacteria. Instead, labs check for antibodies. Australia's reference laboratory tested this patient for Lyme. It came back negative. And then Dr. Cheney sent the patient's blood to the US, which came back positive.
The 52-year-old has never left Australia.
So does this case study prove that Lyme disease can be caught in Australia? Later in the program, we get an infectious diseases expert to give his opinion. Hello, Di Martin here, and welcome to Background Briefing. Rural GP Trevor Cheney is not the only Australian doctor saying Lyme disease is here and making many Australians dangerously ill. In a moment, we'll visit one of Dr. Cheney's colleagues, who's diagnosed 130 Australians with Lyme disease, and who claims that two-thirds of those patients are responding to treatment. There are increasing calls for in-depth research to see if Australian ticks carry one of the Lyme bacteria, or even if Australia has its own unique species. But one of Australia's top infectious diseases specialists, Peter Collignon, is urging caution.
Well, we've got a fair bit of data that has looked for Lyme disease in Australia by reputable researchers, and despite looking quite hard for it, we haven't been able to find it. So my own view is that there's not Lyme disease in Australia on the available evidence. Now, how much more we should look for that is a bit arguable. So we have to have that open mind, but that's different to saying we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars trying to find it. We really need a better clue to chase before we spend huge amounts of research and scarce health dollars towards it.
You might note Professor Collignon's use of the term reputable researchers there. Overseas, some scientists and doctors are challenging virtually all the established evidence about Lyme disease, its transmission, symptoms, progress and treatment. Mainstream infectious diseases specialists accuse these dissenters of shoddy research and warn they are developing a parallel universe of Lyme pseudoscience. Now this debate has arrived in Australia. Acknowledging the high stakes involved for both the seriously ill and the rest of the community, Australia's chief medical officer has stepped in. Chris Baggerley convened a clinical advisory committee, which is now investigating Lyme disease locally.
There are a lot of distressed people. It's a matter of controversy. And it's a matter where people are having very strongly held views and they're polarised. Where there is controversy and where I can get people together to look at and consider evidence and even ask questions of what else might need to be done to help settle us, that would be a useful thing to do. And hence I'm doing it.
Hello.
12 months ago, there was barely a murmur about Lyme disease in country towns like Bellingen on New South Wales' mid-north coast. Now it's an open topic of conversation, even at the local information centre. Here's volunteer Barbara Towers.
I've met a couple of people who actually have been diagnosed with this disease. One person walked into the visitor centre here and just talked to me about her struggle with getting diagnosis with this disease and her great relief when she was diagnosed. And the other gentleman that I know of is the husband of a friend, and he again is very debilitated and now has been diagnosed and has given them hope. And before that, it wasn't on the radar at all.
Growing awareness is welcome news for another local woman. Sarah Walker has been diagnosed with Lyme disease.
Speak to now, and I'm pleased to say, in the past 12 to 18 months, if you say to someone, I've got Lyme disease, they don't look at you blankly anymore. They now say, oh, I've heard about that, that's awful. And
Sarah Walker runs a Lyme support group that's being asked to give talks on the disease to Landcare and local gardening groups.
And they're asking for this information. People are really very, very concerned, and nearly everybody in those fields knows of someone who's got these weird symptoms and really can't function. Considering their extremely healthy lifestyles, they're not well people.
When Sarah Walker is not running the support group, she's working as a speech pathologist or managing her family's combined illnesses. Sarah Walker's husband and two daughters have also been diagnosed with Lyme disease.
We're just having a little quick family chat and it's going to talk about what we're going to be doing tomorrow. We're going to go and see Gail.
Tomorrow is a trip to one of the few Australian GPs that treats for this controversial illness.
So don't forget, I'll need to give you some money, girls, for the bus, okay? So please don't let me forget in the morning because you know what I'm like.
Mainstream science argues that Lyme disease is a relatively straightforward infection and that bacteria can't survive a few weeks of antibiotics. Any further symptoms are something else, like tissue damage from the initial infection or persistent inflammation. It's a view that angers Sarah Walker. She's been ill for more than 15 years and says there are studies that prove the disease can become chronic, that the bacteria can burrow into organs, become dormant, and can require years of high-dose antibiotics to root out.
Oh, boy. OK, I'll read out my list. Would you like that?
She runs through her list of medications, most of them antibiotics.
This is my list for the doctor tomorrow. Minocycline and rifampicin just ceased recently. Bactrim, Plaquenil, Tenidazole, Bicillin injections, Azithromycin and Wellvone.
A recent event in the Walker household goes to the heart of the controversy about treating for chronic Lyme disease, especially with strong antibiotics. 15-year-old Kiri has been hiding her tablets in drawers and dressing gown pockets because they've been making her feel worse.
Kiri, remember we had the big drug bust? Where you were hiding all your tablets. Oh, goodness me. Well, now since you've been back on the tablets, you've been getting some pretty heavy herxes, haven't you?
A herx is a Yarish-Herxheimer reaction. Doctors that treat for chronic Lyme say on taking antibiotics, the dying bacteria release toxins that can make you feel much worse before you get better.
We've got the pain right side of your neck, radiating down your arm, and your resting pulse was really, really high, remember? That numbness in your legs and the pains in your feet, tingling from knees down. Remember that at school?
But conventional medicine says if Kiri's diagnosis is wrong, her Herxheimer reaction could be the side effects of wrongly prescribed antibiotics or the symptoms of something else altogether. Sarah Walker is adamant her husband and daughters are suffering chronic Lyme infections and they are getting the right treatment.
I'm not concerned about that at all because clinically we have every symptom and every sign and we are responding to treatment. It's quite clear.
The medical establishment says it's anything but clear. This disease was first described in Lyme, Connecticut, and the US reports at least 30,000 new cases each year. America's Centers for Disease Control says there's no conclusive evidence that Lyme can become chronic. It also lists four placebo-controlled clinical trials that show long courses of antibiotics are not effective and, in fact, can be dangerous. ANU professor and infectious diseases clinician Peter Collignon says some Australians are taking high doses of antibiotics on the basis of faith, not science.
One of the problems is you do anything to 100 people with a disease, some will get better. They believe, honestly, it's the drug, but it may be another factor that is got nothing to do with the drug. Now, whether it's holy water, rhubarb, or it's the drug you give, you don't know. And that's why you have to have proper trials done which have placebo arms or control arms.
Peter Collignon says some Lyme treatment regimes rely on very strong IV antibiotics, which risk infections. And he says all antibiotics will have side effects, even tablets. There are also increasingly grave warnings about antibiotic resistance. Tom Gottlieb is a Sydney-based infectious diseases specialist.
When you take a drug for heart disease, it has no influence on the people around you. Every time you take an antibiotic, it influences your own gut flora. And then, of course, as you come into contact with other people, you influence their flora on their skin, on their in their bowels. And therefore, your own prescription has influence on others. And that's what worries us about antibiotic use. If you use it for prolonged periods, it clearly has an effect on society.
A GP treating for Lyme disease agrees that antibiotic resistance is a concern. But Richard Schlurfel says all doctors should be able to treat an infection when they see it. He runs a practice on Sydney's North Shore that focuses on chronic conditions. After decades of practice, Dr. Schlurfel has come to the controversial view that Lyme disease may be behind many poorly described chronic illnesses.
Currently, I'm treating a number of patients with so-called MS, multiple sclerosis, motor neurone disease, Parkinson's disease, as well as schizophrenics, who all have been diagnosed overseas with Lyme disease. And I think the sooner we get round off the nonsense that this is not in Australia and actually start looking at every patient with MS, every patient with Parkinson's, all sorts of motor neurone disease and strange disorders which can't be diagnosed, we really should be thinking Lyme.
Mainstream science says there is simply no good evidence to back up this claim, and GPs like Richard Schlurfel are being hoodwinked by poor overseas testing. Australian tests rarely return a positive result, so chronically ill Australians are increasingly sending blood samples overseas to commercial labs. An infectious diseases professor and clinician from Western Australia says many of those tests aren't up to Australian standards. Miles Beaman is concerned that GPs will see Lyme under the chair of every difficult patient. Professor Beaman says a vague set of symptoms is no sign of Lyme.
Proven clinical Lyme disease is actually very recognisable. There are very clear primary, secondary and tertiary phases of the disease. So the vague symptoms that patients who use overseas tests to diagnose their problems are not typical of Lyme disease. They're just typical of any other condition. In fact, being alive really is what they're consistent with.
Miles Beaman does acknowledge that Australia might have its own distinct Lyme-like bacteria that doesn't show up on Australian tests.
So there may well be strains that we don't know about yet in Australia. However, that evidence is insufficient for us to act on a clinical basis at the moment. Although there are many possibilities in medicine, we only act on proven definite cases.
So what advice would Miles Beaman give to those who believe they've caught Lyme disease in Australia?
We as doctors just need to be honest and say you've had all the tests that you need to have. We haven't come up with a serious diagnosis, and that means that you're most likely going to have an uncomplicated recovery given time.
The debate has stirred Australia's chief medical officer to seek out more information. Chris Baggerley attended one of the first Australian conferences looking at Lyme disease held at Sydney University. The conference attracted more interest than even organisers expected. More than 30 GPs turned up, as well as physios, nurses and naturopaths. There were Lyme reports from several states.
Dr. Julian Northover, and I'm a GP in Newport on the northern beaches of Sydney. In the space of 12 months that I've been in practice, I've picked up about 5 patients with a Lyme-like illness that I've on-referred to other GP specialists in Lyme's disease.
My name's Dr. Sandeep Gupta. I practice on Woombai on the Sunshine Coast. What we're seeing is that there are definitely some patients who have severe ongoing syndromes which don't seem to fit into any other category.
Geoffrey Kemp at Camberwell in Melbourne.
How many patients have you seen that you believe either have Lyme or a Lyme-like disease?
55.
Background Briefing asked the Chief Medical Officer about his opinion of the conference. Here's Chris Baggerley.
I spoke to a number of doctors who would much rather the patients that had come with them with Lyme-like illness diseases just didn't come to them. They were not seeking to be making a diagnosis of Lyme disease. They were aware that in making such a diagnosis, they were going against the prevailing wisdom in Australia. And these were straightforward, down-to-earth GPs going about their work, but yet being confronted by something that was asking them to seriously question, does this disease exist or not? And their clinical experience was telling them that it does. So I thought it would be folly to ignore the experience of treating professionals.
If you're a country GP, you are forced by your patients to consider all the options. From the mid-north coast of New South Wales, Trevor Cheney explains.
One thing that I learned fairly early in the piece as a GP, especially rural when it's relatively remote, is that eventually people come back and say, what next? They've exhausted all the paradigms that you or your professional colleagues have been able to apply to them. And these are not people who are malingerers or looking for a workers' compensation solution or something. They're just people who are really unwell. Those people come back to the GP.
Trevor Cheney has taken a sabbatical from his practice to learn more about Lyme and Lyme-like diseases. At the Sydney conference, he presented two case studies he believes challenged the mainstream view on Lyme.
First one, an 18-year-old high school student. This lady came from the other side of Coffs Harbour to our little town called Bellingen. And she came with
Background Briefing has since spoken to this patient. Her name is Kimberly Dean.
I wasn't eating really at all. I was vomiting and I couldn't have the light in the room because it hurt my head too much. And I pretty much just slept for 20 hours a day and I stayed in the house all that time. It's lonely, like not going to school with all the other kids and not doing the things that you love because you literally just aren't capable of it.
Kimberly Dean is now a waitress and aspiring dancer living in Canberra. She's convinced her illness came from a tick bite.
I went camping all the time, so I got just endless tick bites, and I didn't really think anything of them. You know, they're itchy, scratchy, you pull them out, and that's kind of it. And then I got sick about 2007 when I was 14 years old, and it started with just a pain in my side, getting really tired, you know, catching everything that was going around, stomach bugs, migraines, colds. And then it got more serious. I saw just doctor after doctor after doctor because they'd all try one or two things and then they go, oh, I have a friend or a specialist or this person and I'll send you to them and they'll know what's wrong and then they would know what's wrong and they would send me to the next person.
So how long did this medical mill go for?
5 years.
And how many specialists and doctors do you reckon you saw?
Over 50. Easily.
When Kimberly Dean first went to see Dr. Trevor Cheney, she was down to 49 kilos. The first thing he did was to work his way back through her complicated medical history.
And she'd seen a very good paediatrician, a good gastro, a good paediatric gastro, a good general physician, very, very thorough general physician, paediatric neurologist, colorectal surgeon, and being a simple, naive, rural general practitioner, I think, well, what are we dealing with?
I got diagnosed with depression about, so many times because that's what everybody thought it was. I went to a psychologist and they said, no, it's definitely not depression. You seem very healthy and fine mentally. They're like, you're sad because you're sick all the time. And I was like, yeah. So other doctors would look at the psychologist's report and they'd still say, no, it's depression. You know, she's so tired. She doesn't want to get out of bed. Her immune system's low because she's depressed. And it was really disheartening because I knew that's not what it was.
Kimberly Dean even had her gallbladder and appendix removed, which she says didn't help.
I guess I understand that they were just trying to do their best. And so it's not like I hold a grudge to the surgeon or anything like that. But it feels really confronting. And yeah, I regret saying yes to the surgeries.
After Dr. Trevor Cheney had run new tests and excluded everything else, he took up a suggestion from his Bellingen colleague, Dr. Gull Hertzberg.
And we did send blood off to America because I just heard from my colleague Gull about this thing called Lyme disease and I said, look, I don't really know what it is, but if you're willing to give it a go, they were desperate, it's going to cost you a lot of money, we'll do it. And of course it came back with positive Borrelia IgM.
That's positive for the Lyme disease bacteria. Kimberly Dean had already tested negative in Australia. The reason for the different results is complex and hotly debated. Australia looks for antibodies to the two main Borrelia species found overseas. Dr. Cheney says if there's a local Borrelia, it won't show up on Australian tests, but it might on the US ones, which claim to be more sensitive. Lyme patients also say that their immune systems are not working properly, so they may not produce enough antibodies to show up in anything but the most sensitive test. However, a leading Australian microbiologist says that kind of immune suppression is very rare. Stephen Graves says if a person is healthy when infected, their immune system will produce antibodies, which will show up on tests, even if that person later becomes very ill. Stephen Graves also questions the results from one US lab where Australian samples have been tested. Igenix Inc. in California has its own system of interpreting the antibody tests, which it says will pick up many of the Lyme cases that other tests miss. But Stephen Graves says that system does not meet Australian standards, and positive results could be cross-reactions to other proteins in the blood. Igenix Inc. also has a checkered past. It's been investigated by a state and federal authority and was ordered to shut down in 2001 over irregularities with documentation. Igenix paid fines of nearly $50,000. Igenix Inc. says it is now compliant and has been for more than a decade. There's a list of documents on the Background Briefing website about testing, including comments from Igenix Inc., America's Centres for Disease Control, and Australian specialists. So back to the case of 18-year-old Kimberly Dean. At the Sydney conference, Dr. Trevor Cheney explains what he and his colleague did after receiving the US test result.
So we took a plunge. We started treating her with doxycycline. Within 1 month, her 5 years of abdominal pain had gone. She started eating. Within a couple of months, her weight had gone up to 68 kilos. She had a run of antibiotics, herbal therapies. She got better. December, she was well, waking refreshed, no pain. Finished her HSC. She'd missed a year of school. Finished her HSC, and she's now working in Canberra full-time, no symptoms.
Trevor Cheney says he doesn't know if his patients have classic Lyme disease or another type of the Borrelia bug, or something else again, a Lyme-like disease.
The bottom line is these are very sick people. They had been turned away. Nothing was working. They got better. And I don't have any particular commitment to the L word, Lyme. I don't give a damn. What I do know is in general practice for 15 years, I'm motivated by a deep sense of guilt and shame for failing so many people.
In the absence of peer-reviewed scientific evidence, GPs who come up with Trevor Cheney's conclusions face a backlash.
I've recently been attacked by a local colleague saying that I'm a charlatan, that I'm corrupt, that I should even talk to people about Lyme disease. And that's the level of passion out there saying this is a filthy thing that doesn't exist and you're all off the planet.
While Trevor Cheney takes time off to present Lyme case studies at academic forums, his old Bellingen practice remains open. There, his colleague Gull Hertzberg is seeing an increasing number of patients coming in with Lyme symptoms.
I can't tell you that it's because they have Lyme. It looks like Lyme. They've got Lyme in the laboratory. I give them Lyme treatment and they get better. I would like someone to come and pull that apart and show me why else is this person getting better.
Gull Hertzberg invited Background Briefing to the Bellingen Healing Centre.
Hello.
A classic old weatherboard home surrounded by semi-tropical trees. It's light and airy, featuring the usual posters about flu shots and washing hands. Dr. Hertzberg is only seeing Lyme patients today. He's diagnosed 130 people with the disease, and they come from as far away as Perth and Papua New Guinea. Background Briefing has the permission of patients to record today's consults.
Hello, Nat. Yes, the one with the microphone.
First up is Natalie Young, a former New South Wales National Parks ranger. Natalie Young is clearly unwell. She walks slowly, with a slight limp, and is painfully thin. On the day she visits Gull Hertzberg, she's wearing dark glasses to combat photophobia.
All right.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
You got your glasses on. That's all right. You can still wear them.
Leave it.
That's fine.
Natalie Young became ill a decade ago after repeated tick bites out bush.
Yeah, I was really, really ill. I'd lost 10 kilo within about 2 months.
I was wetting my bed. I couldn't swallow properly. I couldn't breathe properly.
She tested negative for Lyme in Australia. Yet an infectious diseases specialist at Sydney's Royal North Shore Hospital has diagnosed her with this disease. Natalie Young sees several doctors, including Gull Herzberg.
Have you got a list of topics?
I've got a list. Apparently I need an ECG. Can you sort one of those out? Well, my heart.
You do?
Apparently the Zithromax. You probably know something's come up about that Zithromax medication to do with your heart.
So Natalie Young is on a very high dose of the antibiotic Zithromax, 1,000 milligrams a day. One of the side effects is an uneven heartbeat.
I mean, we do ECGs for a variety of reasons. In your case, it's to check what's going on, probably with the QT interval.
Dr. Herzberg went on to ask about her medications, which includes a cocktail of antibiotics.
So many tablets to take.
Natalie Young says without these drugs, she would have died. But it's a punishing treatment regime. She talks of a recent Herxheimer's reaction, described as the toxic side effect of dying bacteria.
Last week I had a really bad week and I did the bacillin and I had the tinidazole pulse. Couldn't take that. My liver was getting taxed.
But you're still on Zithromax?
I'm still on Zithromax and I'm on doxycycline 400 milligram. And I'm on bacillin.
There are so many drugs because Natalie Young says she's fighting more than one infection. Ticks can carry several bacteria. A US lab says Natalie Young is also infected with babesiosis, rickettsiosis, brucellosis, and the Bartonella bacteria. She describes the combined impact as the equivalent of having malaria and AIDS at the same time. Natalie Young says her Lyme treatment didn't work till she started tackling other bacteria in her system.
Yeah, I noticed that what sort of got me to improve a little bit more was like the Bartonella treatment and then the Babesia treatment after that, because I was just treating Lyme there for so long that I wasn't seeing anything, you know, really, improvement. So these co-infections are definitely an issue.
Yeah, certainly in you.
It's been a long road for this former Parks Ranger, but as her most recent tests indicate, Natalie Young is showing signs of improvement.
Your total protein is up. That's great.
Is it?
It was really low over the last few years, and it's up in the normal range now.
I'm starting to fight it because I'm getting, like, I started to get fevers about 4 months ago. I started to get fevers and chills, and for years and years I couldn't crack a fever. So I'm starting to, like, my immune system is starting to want to fight it.
Great, but also you're feeling much better, which is critical.
Looking back to where I was like 4 years ago, the improvements are massive, you know, like from not being able to walk yourself, not being able to get out of bed for 2.5 years. It was just incredible.
Later on, Background Briefing asked Dr. Gull Herzberg about the dilemma of antibiotic resistance. He says before he learnt about Lyme disease, it was hard to get antibiotics out of him.
I know every time I use an antibiotic in anyone, I'm exposing a range of microorganisms to that antibiotic, and some of those organisms may survive to live another day, and that's what contributes to antibiotic resistance. I guess I have to balance the risks of that with the risks of not using antibiotics in this particular person at this time.
So what do you say to people who say you just should not be prescribing such large doses of antibiotics for anybody? There is no evidence to say that it is going to be effective, and in fact you could be exposing your patients to the wrong treatment.
That is a possibility. It is a valid viewpoint, but it's not the only viewpoint. There are lots of doctors around the world that deal with this sort of illness, with these sort of treatment protocols, to good effect. I have to consider that with a patient who fits that clinical picture. In some cases, I have very good evidence, both clinical and laboratory evidence, and the evidence actually accrues as they respond. I don't start a course of antibiotics and say, OK, this is what we're going to do for the next 3 years. I adjust it accordingly, depending on how they respond. So if they continue to improve, that makes me feel that we're more on the right track.
Back in his treatment room, Gull Herzberg prepares for his next consultation on the phone. It's with a Queensland man who's tested negative for Lyme disease, even on overseas tests. And tick bites are not part of the clinical picture. But Gull Herzberg is still considering something like Lyme disease.
Well, he has officially got rheumatoid arthritis. He sees a rheumatologist. He's on sort of standard treatment for that. We are suspicious that he may have an infective process underlying his rheumatoid arthritis. He was well and fine, and then he had a whole lot of bites. I think he was on the roof of a roof somewhere doing some air conditioning work, was bitten by some insects, as yet unclear what those insects were, had an acute illness, and after that he started to deteriorate. We might call that like a Lyme-like disease.
So did he come to you with the diagnosis in mind?
Yeah, with the diagnosis in mind, definitely.
Hello?
Hi, is that Steve?
Hey, Gull, how are you going?
Good, good. Now, I got some blood test results from you just today.
Oh, good, you got them, yep.
I did, and
they run through a series of test results and then talk about current symptoms. Steve has complained of groin pain in the past. He says that's improved after taking the antibiotics, rifampicin and doxycycline.
I knew that it was helping me, you know, especially how my groin up until yesterday, which I just overdid it yesterday, has been 80% better.
Just let me ask you this. Do you think then that the groin has got better as a result of the... while you've been on these antibiotics for the last month or so?
Yeah, that's the doxy and the other one definitely helped my groin in my mind.
Gull Herzberg says patients come to him either suspecting they have Lyme disease or wanting to know that they haven't. Dr. Herzberg says he diagnoses about half of his patients with the disease.
I would imagine it might be half that I would feel confident to say yes, definitely. And that would be not necessarily based on blood test results. Most likely it's based on a really good story and a response to treatment.
Now, I believe criticism is directed to those doctors who treat for Lyme disease in Australia, that you're making a lot of money from very desperate people without conclusive evidence.
I agree that there is a lack of conclusive evidence, but many things in medicine are about a clinical picture. I don't think I'm making a lot of money. It does cost $700 to see me for a two-hour appointment as an initial appointment. That's certainly the case. But I certainly spend a lot of time, effort and energy trying to find out about these things so I can help my patients better. And most people feel that that's worth it. I assume that's why they make the appointment and they keep coming back to see me afterwards.
People are waiting up to 6 months to get an initial appointment with Gull Herzberg. He says this is not a question of desperation, but of results.
Actually, it seems that a goodly proportion of the people that see me do actually improve significantly, sooner or later.
Is there any way you can put a figure on that?
No, I would guess a third, a third, a third. Maybe a third get better fairly, let's say, quickly and easily, a third slowly, and a third not at all. It might be that sort of number, but really, I don't know. I'd be very open to someone coming and doing a research project on my practice.
Back on the conference circuit, we rejoin Dr. Herzberg's colleague, Trevor Cheney. He's come to another conference this time with a far bigger and more sceptical crowd at the plush Hyatt Hotel in Canberra. Present are the who's who of Australia's infectious diseases community. The mention of Lyme disease here makes eyes roll and audiences chuckle. Into this lion's den went Trevor Cheney. He and Gull Herzberg have printed a poster of the two case studies they think best challenges the mainstream view on Lyme disease. One case study is the 18-year-old high school student Kimberly Dean. The other, who we heard about at the top of the program, is a more controversial case.
Quickly through, the next patient was a 52-year-old bush regenerator. So he goes out in the bush, he cuts trees, poisons weeds and plants new little trees.
This is the man whose blood sample tested positive in America for classic Lyme disease.
And he's never left Australia.
So is this the case that proves that Lyme can be caught in Australia? Background Briefing invited an infectious diseases specialist to comment on these two case studies. By sheer coincidence, Professor Miles Beaman taught Trevor Cheney, and it's the first time they've seen each other in 20 years.
If I told her I have an open mind,
that's
right. We need further data.
Absolutely, and me too. We need the support. I said I'm
happy to be proved wrong. I just want help for these guys that are sick, and there's lots of them.
Miles Beaman turns his attention to the poster.
My initial impression, this poster describes two patients with acute illnesses which have similarities. They've had a number of blood tests, including serologies, which have had a number of low-level positives, which are probably cross-reactions. And it's proposed that these illnesses are due to a Borrelia, which may or may not be Lyme Borrelia.
There are about 18 species of Borrelia associated with Lyme disease. Miles Beaman says we will only know for sure if these people have Lyme once the bacteria has been cultured. While it's difficult to culture in humans, Professor Beaman says it's not in ticks.
The data which is missing is any tick data, because what is striking about Lyme disease is that if you have an endemic region where people get real case of Lyme disease, the ticks are full of the organisms.
A major Australian tick study 20 years ago failed to find any Borrelia. Research since then has been inconclusive. So Sydney University launched a new study last year, which is checking ticks from around Australia, including the Bellingen area. Miles Beaman says Dr. Cheney's case studies do need following up, but he says the term Lyme disease is a distraction.
It would be sensible to restrict it at the moment to borreliosis, because there are some suggestive serology tests. They are by no means definitive, and what I want to find is either the bug itself in patient tissue or in the vectors, the ticks, and that would really prove the hypothesis.
But Lyme or not, the treatment is learned from Lyme disease and was successful in both these cases. So what does that indicate?
Well, it just indicates that if you have a patient with a possible infectious disease and you give them a number of antibiotics, then you've got a chance of affecting the unknown organism that's involved. It doesn't really help us in the diagnostic situation.
Miles Beaman agrees that more assistance should be given to rural GPs such as Trevor Cheney, like in the US, where the Centres for Disease Control has an investigation arm.
We've got to remember the history of Lyme disease. This was actually worked out in precisely these circumstances. Country GPs noticing funny clinical syndromes, and the CDC actually has doctors that they fly out to investigate on the ground these sorts of novel illnesses. In Australia, we don't have that mechanism, unfortunately. So there's a degree of lack of organisation in Australia which frustrates dealing with these sorts of problems.
What Background Briefing discovered later, though, is that Trevor Cheney is actually related to one of his case studies, the Bellingen Bush Regenerator.
Is this your brother?
Yeah.
Is there a conflict of interest here? Should you not be using your brother as a case study?
No, absolutely not, because there's no conflict of interest. Let the science do the talking. So let's look at this clinical case. Let's look at the evidence. Let's look at the supporting serology, the progress of the case, response to treatment. Whether one knows these patients in a small town, mind you, where you know you kind of know most people anyway, whether one knows them closely, whether one knows them business-wise, or whether one knows them by family, those things are distraction to the evidence I was putting forward as a case.
But it does leave you open to criticisms that it's not independent research, and in fact it may be research clouded by your personal feelings.
I can imagine somebody who is looking to attack the medicine and the science by any means they possibly could and do personal attacks as opposed to looking at the medicine might want to try and do that, which is why I saw no relevance in making it obvious.
Dr. Trevor Cheney. A Commonwealth Clinical Advisory Committee is now investigating the Lyme issue, and it includes representatives of both sides of this passionately argued debate. You can see an update on its progress on our website. The committee aims to answer key questions. Is the Lyme bug in Australia? How do GPs diagnose it? And what to do about testing and treatment? An initial scoping study has recommended significant new research be undertaken. Chief Medical Officer Chris Baggerley says Australian GPs urgently need some clarity.
I think the whole area of Lyme disease is poorly understood, and that's why I'm trying to see whether we can bring any understanding to the topic. Where we'll end up at the end of this, I'm not sure. Will we still end up with two very polarised views strongly held? We may. Hopefully, though, if we do nothing else, if we can at least provide service and certainty and advice to the treating doctors of Australia about the agreed protocol for laboratory testing and the best treatment options, then we'll have done something that's important.
Coordinating producer this week is Linda McGuinness. Research by Anna Whitfeld. Technical production by Andrei Shabanov. And Chris Bullock is executive producer. I'm Di Martin.